Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds, and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance, and dental care. This is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. Because your pet health matters. Please welcome your pet doctor host, veterinary media consultant, and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
It was something in his eyes, a funny sheepador named Watson, that made his owner, Major League Baseball player Arnie Costell, realize that he couldn't give up. Watson's quality of life was compromised because of some old age infirmities. When others said it might be time to let Watson pass, Arnie knew that with some hard work, some creativity, and a bit of luck, he could give Watson back his dignity, extend his life, and maybe help some other pet owners facing similar matters. So was born the Bottoms Up Leash, and one of man's passions to help senior dogs everywhere. This is a shaggy dog tail that will give your heart a lift and your dog's behind a boost. We'll be right back after this short message.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Having a rough day? Longing for the dog days of summer? Think your fun furry friend lives a dog's life? Well, find out everything you're begging to know as Pet Life Radio presents It's a Doggy Dog World with pet expert and award-winning author Liz Palaika. Every dog has his day, and you'll find out how to make your dog's day fun and rewarding every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Flight 291 is now boarding. All passengers, please proceed to gate 4.
And who's this traveling with us today?
This is Bailey. She's never flown Midwest Airlines before.
Hi, Bailey. She'll be fine. We take special care of our traveling pets. In fact, our premier pet program was created by an employee and dog lover who believes that pets should be handled as precious cargo. And they are. Oh, and they earn travel rewards too.
Oh, good.
Thanks for flying Midwest Airlines, Bailey. Enjoy your flight. Visit MidwestAirlines.com.
Pets are part of the family, and when traveling with your dog, there's only one magazine to include when packing your doggie's duffel bag, and that's Fido Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog. Each bi-monthly issue includes hotel, city, and state reviews, and doggy destinations to explore with your furry companion. Fido Friendly magazine can be found at Borders, Barnes & Noble, PetSmart, Pet Boutiques, and Fido Friendly hotels nationwide. Or you can go online to subscribe at www.fidofriendly.com. So get traveling with your pet today and leave no dog behind. And remember, Fido Friendly's the only magazine dedicated to the travel lifestyle of man's best friend and the one magazine your dog will thank you for.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and will see you now.
Well, today's guest is Arnie Costell. Arnie, thank you so much for being with us. I know that this is going to be a really boring interview. You have enough energy to keep everyone on the internet awake today. Thank you so much for being with me.
Bernadine, thank you.
Well, first of all, let's talk about that baseball background. I'm sure a lot of people are going, that name sounds familiar. Who did you play for, Arnie?
Well, I originally was signed by the Detroit Tigers, and I played a couple years with them and then was pretty much my fantasy was traded to one of the New York teams. I was traded to the New York Yankees. And, you know, I grew up in New York. And, you know, there are some things you just want to do, you know, it's your dreams growing up. And one of mine, I always wanted to play professional baseball. And I really got part of my fantasies realized by playing with the New York Yankees. I played almost 10 seasons. And, you know, from the big leagues to the minor leagues to the big leagues, I tell people that I never got any votes for the Hall of Fame. And if you have my baseball card, it's usually in the spokes of a bicycle making a clicking noise.
but had a great time doing it.
I learned so much about life and the passion. I still play baseball at 56 years old, hardball. I play in these leagues against younger kids, and I have a blast because it keeps me going. There's a certain tenacity that I carry, and I do a little bit of coaching, and it's just one of those things, you know, where I've been very fortunate in finding some of the things that so-called float my boat. Baseball is one of them for sure.
I know something else that tends to float your boat is dogs, in particular Watson. But before we get to Watson, you were talking about growing up in the New York area. And you told me a story once, because you and I have had the pleasure of meeting in the past. You told me a story about growing up and really being very afraid of dogs. Why did that happen? For someone who loves dogs now, how did you start off being so afraid of them?
When I was a child, I was bitten, and I was bitten fairly bad. And when I was like really small, if I saw a dog, I would run across the street. I mean, but you know, the freeways, I would do anything to get away from dogs. You know, I would grab my mom's leg. I would just do anything. So she got me my first dog, Barky, who was a boxer and a shepherd mix. And to see if, you know, I mean, it was debilitating. It was such a horrible fear. And I loved that dog. But the thing is, I never lost my fear of dogs. I've had big shepherds. I've had Shih Tzus. I've had, of course, Watson. I've had, you know, all kinds of dogs. But until there, I get to know them. I'm one of those people, when a dog walks in the room, I freeze. that fear comes over me. And that's what it was. My mom got me a dog, basically, because the fear was almost debilitating. And I love dogs. I love dogs. The dogs I've had are just, you know, and the dogs that I associate with, I'm very fortunate that, you know, people bring their dogs in to see me. And once I get to know the same dog, and, you know, there's a puppy right down the you know, in my complex where I work named Annie, a little four-month-old black lab, and I always beat her up and give her pink bellies, and she always goes back to her owner with a little chew stick in her mouth, and we just have a great time.
Well, in one respect, I think it's great that you have respect for dogs, because too many children get bitten by dogs because their parents, the children, have never been taught how to approach a dog. So we'll get into that in some other show. But I'm glad that you're over that fear, give or take a little bit. But a dog that really made a difference in your life, and now you actually have a senior pet supply company named after this dog, and this dog is Watson. Give us a little background on Watson.
Watson was, he was supposed to have been a sheepdog, and we saw an ad in the papers, sheepdog puppies free. So we went down, and there were 9 puppies. They were not exactly all sheepdog. They were...
Something jumped the fence.
His dad jumped the fence, and so there were 9 puppies. There were 6 all-black puppies and 3 black and whites. And so we picked out a black and white, and they said we had to come back a week later. And when we did, well, the other black and whites had been given away, and she said there was one left. He was the runt of the litter. We never even saw him. And when we saw him, I literally fit in the palm of my hand, and I just looked at him. He was like all nose. He was just like a big nose. And I fell in love with this dog, and I would take him everywhere. We had a Shih Tzu at the time named Caesar, and Watson was then, now we have a two-dog house, and I used to, I still work out, and I'd bring both the guys down, and we'd run, and Watson went everywhere with me, everywhere. Everybody knew me, they knew Watson. It just seemed to develop, I had the same heartbeat or something. I knew him, he knew me. It's that nonverbal communication that you get with animals. With Watson, it somehow elevated itself way beyond and off the charts.
Now, this sounds like an extra special pup, but then he started having some issues. Yeah. What started happening, and how old was he when it started?
I would say he probably was 13, 14 years old.
That's a good age.
Yeah. He was starting to develop the symptoms of aging, and of course, we deny everything. As somebody who loved him, he'd stumble. He tripped. If he had a seizure or whatever. Oh, no, he tripped like I do, dizzy. But then when he stopped walking, and walking was so important to Watson and myself. Walking is not, and I really can hear my voice change. My hands are going, as we said. Walking is not so that your dog can just go out and relieve himself or to get a little bit of exercise. When I walked Watson, we solved the world's problems. We were in our own little bubble, our own little sphere. I lived in Malibu, and I walked him on the beach, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful time. I used to sing to him. He would sing to me. We'd see people. I'd make bets with him. Watsy, I bet you can make that little boy stop crying if we saw somebody walking in Wonder. I mean, it was like that. Well, when he stopped walking, or his ability to stop walking, to walking was becoming more pronounced, I carried him. People came up to me, Bernadine, telling me what a great owner I was. And I would tell them right off the bat, no. I'm not a great owner. I have a great dog.
Now, this is not a little dog, too, is it?
Nope. No.
How much did he weigh?
He was about 65 pounds. He'd tell you he was 50. He lied about his weight. He was a little fatso. He was a sausage. He didn't know he was a runt and a litter. He was a sausage, and that was from too much Haagen-Dazs. I would give him Haagen-Dazs, and I would put the cup right on his snout, and he would eat it that way. I could still see him doing that. And then he was in love with fishy crackers, the Pepperidge Farm fishy crackers.
I think we may need to talk a little bit about senior dog's nutrition in a moment, but continue on with your story.
Okay. And so I would carry him. But then, something, you saw a change in him. It was hard for him. It was harder for him not to be able to walk than it was for me. And of course, yes, when you have to especially when you can't walk a dog and you're putting a towel under their belly, you're putting slings, that doesn't work. They got to go, to the bathroom. What are you doing? You're going to grab his tail? I mean, Watson was, even though he was, part sheepdog, he had a tail. He almost looked like a beardy. So, and he had long hair, so there was something to grab. You can't do that. One day I'm watching a show on rock climbing, and I'm looking, and I see that harness that goes in their groin that they hoist up. They throw it over their heads. Then they hoist themselves, and I'm looking, whoa, wait a minute, something clicked. I could make that. Guess what? I make that. I walk Watson. I went down to Petco immediately. I bought 5 leashes. I cut them all up. I am looking right now at that original bottoms-up leash. I have it in my office, and there is not enough money in this world that I would ever get rid of this. It's on my website. I have a picture of it with his collar. And I sewed the leashes. I started walking them. And as soon as I started walking them, people came up to me and said, where do you get the leash? And that's when it dawned on me. This is not a unique problem. This is a problem, after doing research, that affects 3 out of 5, 60% of dogs in the United States are affected with walking problems, rear legs, spinal myelopathy, arthritis, hip dysplasia, muscular, neurological, whatever you have, 60% are affected.
You're exactly right, Arnie, because it is way too common. And so often, as you were saying, you try to get that towel and sling it under their bellies. And of course, if you have a male dog, that towel is kind of impinging on part of that male anatomy, and that doesn't make life any easier for them. And they really do seem to understand that their quality of life has been compromised. their dignity has been compromised because now they're walking around with this towel under their belly, and too many owners are hurting their own backs, trying, especially with those larger dogs, leaning over, holding them up, trying to get them outside for a walk. How many designs did you have to go through before you came up with the bottoms-up leash?
Literally, I did it the first time. I saw
that's
that
cheating.
In my head, I said to myself, I measured Watson's leg, I measured everything, I said to myself, so I started to cut the loops, and literally, the bottoms-up leash that is now being sold is the exact design of the one that I made. And the one that I make, if you go on my website, you could see how many times it had to be re-sewn, you know, at the stress points, because I was just sewing it in my house with needle and thread. It was no industrial and or anything. And it's so true. You hit it exactly on the head of when you use the phrase dignity. Somebody said to me that the leash could actually be called the dignity leash. And I, you know, it always stuck in my craw when I heard that expression. And I have an emails from people where people tell me they call it the magic of the leash, that once their dog starts using the leash, he feels like it's his. And even on, I was featured on a show on CBS, and a young girl was talking about it, and she said, Ralph, he like feels like really special, because he, you know, other dogs come up to him when he has the leash and people, and it's like he's got a special thing. It's his, you know, and it's just, when I hear things like that, Bernadine, it just makes me feel so, I know that I did something right, and I also have now come to grips that Watson was put on this planet for a reason, and he was affected with a rear walking problem for a reason, and that reason was to help other people and help other dogs. I'm convinced so more now, and it bothered me, because I, if you would have asked me so many years ago, do you want to be the pioneer that really does this, or do you want your dog to be able to run right to the day that he, you know, that he crosses the bridge? I would have probably answered, no, I want Watson to be able to walk in with me. But now I know that there was a reason for this. There really was, and I could see it. It gets clearer and clearer as the days go and as time goes, and people tell me how much thankful they are. Or when I hear people crying, and I can see people who come up to my office and they cry because I get their dogs up, and they know, you know, it's such a wonderful feeling.
Dogs don't understand why all of a sudden the brain is so willing, but how come that hindquarters not getting up and taking me where I need to go? A couple of weeks ago, we spoke to a veterinarian, Dr. Alice Villalobos, talking about quality of life, and she calls it pospice instead of hospice care. And one of her criteria is to know whether or not it is time for a dog or a cat, a bird, whatever, to pass that quality of life. One of the components is their ability to move themselves around and to eliminate normally. And too many dogs, and sometimes cats too, are having to lie there in their own excrement. And they're used to being clean, happy, housebroken pets, and all of a sudden they're eliminating on themselves, eliminating in the home. And understandably, the owner realizes, okay, it's really not the pet's fault, but it's the fourth pile I've had to pick up today, and, you know, they're swooshing it all over the carpet. And it really does break down that bond that's occurring between the human and the pet. Do you hear that a lot from your people that
yes,
are calling
I,
in?
I hear
owners?
That. I do hear that so much. And that's where people tell me. I just know myself, there could have been, I would have done anything for Watson. I would have cleaned up his mess 100 times a day. But I do understand where people, when you see your dog lying in his own feces, that's not good. I actually made the decision I had to put down Watson, and that was tough.
Sounds like it's still tough.
It is. It's hard for me to talk about it because I can remember when it actually said when I said I would in my own head. You know, you fight this. You know, initially, you know, what I used to do is talk to the man upstairs and go, please don't take my dog. Please do not take my dog. He's great. He's great. He's good. I want him. And then when they start going bad, I go, please don't make me play you. You take him. But the decision was when Watson started to urinate on himself, you know, where he just couldn't stop anymore. And when I saw him, and there was the urination also had red in it, so I knew there was blood, and I can't let him do that.
Arnie, hold that thought, because I know a lot of people go through this, and you, with this product, the Bottoms Up Leash, is really giving thousands of dogs a little lift on their bottoms to keep that good quality going. We'll be right back after this short message.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
School's in session on Pet Life Radio with Teacher's Pet. Learn how to communicate with your pet, train your pet, and see the world from your pet's point of view. You may even learn a few tricks yourself. Teacher's Pet with pet expert and author Sarah Wilson, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Ready to take a walk? Not just you, but your whole family. It's the 2008 Whisker Walk, Sunday, June 8th from 9 to 4 at the Lancaster Fairground in Lancaster, Massachusetts. Pet owners and animal lovers walk to lend a paw to benefit the animal shelters and pet charities they love. Come see exhibits, demonstrations, educational programs, special attractions, product giveaways, entertainment, auctions, raffles, food, fun, and things for adults and kids to see, do, and buy, both human and pet-related. Whisker Walk 2008, a fun day for everyone. For more information, log on to whiskerwalk.org.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in Paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and will see you now.
My guest today is Major League Baseball player Arnie Costell, who has come up with just a fantastic product to help too many of these dogs who are having hindquarter weakness. And that can be, as you were saying, from old age, Arnie, but it can also be for other reasons. What can be some of those other reasons why people are using that Bottoms Up Leash?
Okay, well, there's things like spinal myelopathy, there's arthritis, there's injuries, dogs that are getting hit by cars. There's so many different things that can make, you know, dogs go lame. It's like us, you know, from playing ball. The one thing I learned is about my body, and I mean, I have terrible arthritis. Well, I'm doing things about it, and so consequently, I tell people, I don't think I should be put down. And there are so many things that are affecting the way a dog can walk. So many people don't understand that when you have your dog jump off of the bed onto the floor or jump out of your truck or your car, you know, into the road, that's jarring on the dog's knees. And, you know, and things happen. I mean, you now know, Bernadine, there's MRIs for dogs. We're handling the same things that we do for people. We're doing into the canine world.
There are so many advances in veterinary medicine that are helping dogs and cats and birds, fish and everything else of all ages. Now, you have products, not just the bottoms-up leash, on your particular website. What is the website, number one?
Okay, it's www.seniorpetsupplies.com.
So they are for senior pets, but what do you carry there?
Okay, I carry a canine seatbelt. There is now legislation in numerous states. We just passed one in California that you cannot drive with a dog in your lap, you know, a la the Paris Hiltons or whatever, or anybody. You can't have a dog in your lap. The dog is not legally have to be strapped in, but you can't have it in your lap. So the seatbelt is just really something special. I also make dog shoes. I make diapers for dogs. You know, as dogs are getting older, the incontinence.
Back up. Dog shoes. Are they like loafers or are they bunny slippers?
These are like the Bruno Mollies.
Okay.
These are classy. These are the all-terrain MyPaws. These are made so that these are rugged. There's a double Velcro strap. They come up high, almost to where the dew claws are. They have a closed cell foam rubber bottom, and they have a ballistic nylon toe plate. They're made of neoprene so that, you know, people don't understand. When they go to a beach and they take their dogs, first of all, I don't like that because it's so hot. But guess what? They keep their shoes on when they're on the hot sand. But their dogs come. They're burning their feet. Even walking a dog in the summer on the hot asphalt, then you have snow back east, and people hike with their dogs. And my shoes are awesome for all of that. You know, it's for protection. It's for, you know, safety, you know, when dogs want to go in the water and, you know, up against, you know, they have the rocks in the water. It's really something, I think, special.
Different sizes?
Yeah, I have, it's like 7 different sizes, all the way from double extra small to double extra large.
I love it. and the seatbelt, yes, is a great idea. I hate seeing dogs though it looks cute, with their little heads sticking out the windows and their ears flapping around. All mm-hmm. somebody has to do is slam on the brakes, and this dog is going to go flying.
Oh, absolutely. You know, what got me thinking about a seatbelt was Watson used to sit in the back of my SUV, and we were on Pacific Coast Highway going about 35, and all of a sudden traffic literally stopped, and I had presence of mind to put my hand between the two seats because I knew he was sitting in the back, and he went flying. I caught his chest with my forearm. He went over my arm, but he landed and did the spin. If not, he's through the windshield. Yeah, horrible. I don't even like thinking like that.
So we have seatbelts and doggy shoes and the bottoms up. What else do you have there? Diapers you're mentioning.
And diapers.
So are they anatomically correct with tails? A tail exit?
They have a hole where the tail would go so that, you know, basically they're used for when the dogs are incontinent or a female dog is in heat. You know, they'll, you know, offer that. And, you know, I sell a lot of them, and I just, you feel so terrible because when people call about diapers, they're desperate. They are so desperate. You know, they're looking for answers, and then people are asking me, what can they do? You know, I tell them, you got to see your vet. You know, the diaper is only pretty much putting a Band-Aid on the situation. Whatever's causing the incontinent is something, you know, in terms that's medical. And you see, that's amazing when people will almost ask me medical stuff, and I try to tell them, I'm not a vet. Not a vet.
Go see your veterinarian, yes.
Yeah, all I am is I just love my dogs, you know, and that's what, you know, so I can give you answers on that.
I know one of the things that you and I have spoken on in the past is that when people call you, and oftentimes they do need the bottoms-up leash because their dog is getting towards the end of their good quality of life, or they need those diapers because of incontinence, that many times you're talking these people through letting go. And you can use your own experience of having to let Watson go. You started talking about that before the break. If you could continue on a little bit about how you finally came to that decision and what was it like when you had to let him go?
Oh, I see. You hear my voice change in that. And, you know, it's funny because I'm, you know, like I said, I'm an ex-professional ball player. I'm a big guy. And, you know, so when the thought of that Watson was near the end, more than near the end, I probably let it go longer than it should have, as probably most of us do. And when I brought him to the vet, it was, like I said to you, he started peeing on the floor. There was red in there, meaning I knew that in the urine there was blood. He almost looked at me, I have to tell you, and he almost said to me, "Arnie, I think it's time." And, you know, it catches you so off guard. And when people ask me, it's a difficult thing because I tell them that they have to make that decision. I don't want to cop out on it. But it's you'll know, and by the time you know, it's usually past where it should be. And like the woman who called me today whose dog passed away, she knew it. But she bought the leash in desperation. She bought it last night. It went out today. And she knew it. And we will cling, we will hold whatever we can. But you even hit to it. It's a question of dignity. I mean, I know myself. I don't want to, you know, be, you know, not with all my true faculties. And I don't want to be a burden on anybody. And at that point, I know that it's my time to go. And it's the same thing with these wonderful animals. But they can't tell us. But in a way, they can. Watson looked at me. I could still see his face. He was on the floor. And he was right by my television. I called my friend to come on over. He was going to take me. And he basically, looking in his eyes, it's okay. He said to me, it'll be okay. And as you can see, it's still tough for me to talk about it.
And how many years has it been now?
It's been about 5 years now.
Five short years.
Yeah. And it is still a difficult time to really grasp with it. And, you know, sometimes that almost makes me hold back about getting another dog because it hurts so much. But then you think of all the wonder and awesome things we get from them, you know, and it's just, that's what makes it all great. You know, and I listen to people talk about their dogs, you know, and, you know, when people call me, Bernadine, and sometimes they're a little shy about it, they're nervous or whatever, you know how I relax them? I always say, "What's your puppy's name?" And they said, "Well, he's not a puppy, he's 14. And I'll tell them, "Well, he's still your puppy, isn't he?"
Go, yeah, just like you're always going to be your mother's baby, that
yes.
Dog is always going to be your puppy. Right. We never grow up.
No. Not at all. Not at all.
Now, besides Watson making such a big impact on your life, now Watson is making a major impact in other lives. Haven't you started a foundation?
Yes. We started the Watson's Foundation, and it's in working with the Morris Animal Foundation. We're getting a website up called the PetArthritisCouncil.org. And it's just really, really exciting. We're not only going to be trying to handle arthritis in animals, but we're going to be we want to try and get money for seniors, for dogs as they're getting older. It's more than just arthritis. It's everything. It's hearing. It's eyesight, dental. So many things are being affected. And if we could, we have to make the quality of their life better because we are keeping them alive longer and dogs are living longer. So they have to have the true quality. So the Watson's Foundation is just so exciting to me. I mean, I'm so pumped and so jazzed on it. I mean, this dog, I could see him. He's up in heaven right now. He's right by the Rainbow Bridge, and I know he's talking to my other puppies, and he's going, hey, I got an internet business.
Look where I did.
See him. I can see him. He goes, I got a business. He's probably a wise guy, because he always was a wise guy.
What's Watson's web address one more time?
Okay, it's Senior Pet Supplies, all spelled out, SENIORPETSUPPLIES.com.
We've been talking today with Arnie Costell, the designer, inventor of the Bottoms Up Leash and the Watson's Pet Foundation. Been doing some fantastic work, really bringing the word to the American public and anyone who has internet access that our pets, thankfully, are living longer lives and wanting to keep that quality of life as good as possible, as long as possible. Through sites such as his, you can get products that can help those seniors with those senior moments. So with the goal of the Watson Foundation is to improve the life of all our pets, especially the seniors. My goal here on The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio is to entertain, educate, and to motivate you to be the best pet owner you can be. Thank you so much for being with us today. Come back next week and hear more on The Pet Doctor. I'm Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Because they're a member of the family, keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. On demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.